Psalm 37. This is a psalm which addresses thoroughly and repeatedly a single concern, that though the wicked may triumph for a while, in time God will do justice by raising up the righteous and punishing the wicked. If you've been following along chronologically, then you know that a few weeks ago we finished studying the book of Proverbs. That book repeatedly touched on the idea that the righteous would be rewarded with life, longevity, and prosperity, while the wicked would suffer short and difficult lives. Of course, Proverbs also acknowledged at times that this is a world of imperfect justice, and that there would be times when the wicked would unfairly rise up over the righteous. We take the promise of good outcomes for good behavior as a generality rather than an absolute in every individual case. Today's psalm seemed to me to be a good companion to those ideas. It assures us that even when there is injustice, that we should be patient and should trust in God. God will ultimately do justice. The passage is Psalm 37, and if you have not read it yet, now would be an excellent time to pause and do so. Today's passage is yet another acrostic. This is the third we've done in 2 months, so I won't weary you with a lengthy explanation, but briefly, for anyone who might be popping in on this psalm, each line of the poem starts with the next letter of the alphabet. Line 1 is A, 2 is B, and so forth, but in Hebrew. This acrostic is a bit looser than some. Most of the lines of the psalm are 2 lines long, and Het is 3 lines long. This acrostic also really feels like an acrostic reading through it. Even though it is a bit loose on form, as I was reading it, I recognized that it was an acrostic even without checking the Hebrew or looking at the footnotes. One starts to get a sense for the acrostics because they tend to have a way of meandering all around a topic without necessarily having a strongly developed thesis or logical progression. That happens when your organizational structure is not based on logic and purpose so much as it is based on the successive letters of the alphabet. Each of these lines says something about the same topic, but often in a manner that is repetitive and wandering. So for that reason, I'll be considering the content of the psalm in a more orderly fashion, ignoring the order of the acrostic and working through the topic in an order that more clearly communicates the idea. The psalm presents to us a problem, that of evildoers who prosper, and tells us how we should respond to their evildoing, by patiently waiting for Jehovah to act. The psalm assures us that God will respond, with the result that the wicked will be cut off and the righteous will flourish. First, the heading of the psalm tells us only that this is a psalm of David. We know David, of course, he was the king of Israel. See the books of Samuel for more about him. Moving into the body of the psalm, the first verse acknowledges the existence of a certain problem which might cause us to fret. That problem is the existence of evildoers. Verse 12 tells us that the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at him. Wicked people are those who violate God's commands. They do this generally out of selfishness. The wicked person is seeking his own best interest, and he is willing to violate the laws of God to get it. Of course, the laws of God are intended to bring about justice. They ensure that there is an equal playing field on which the strong will not unfairly take advantage of the weak. But the wicked want to take advantage of others. They seek out weak people whom they can abuse to satisfy their own ends. In contrast, there are also righteous people. The righteous, we read in verses 30 and 31, are those who speak of wisdom and justice. They speak it not from hypocrisy, but because God's laws are hidden in their hearts. They practice the laws of God, and therefore their feet do not slip. That, of course, being a metaphor describing the strength and stability of their lives. The righteous person, one who teaches, practices, and enforces the moral law, stands in the way of the wicked person, keeping him from getting what he wants. For that reason, the wicked person hates and opposes the righteous. Verse 14 describes for us that the wicked draw swords and bows against the upright and also against the poor and needy. And verse 32 tells us that the wicked man waits for an opportunity to put the righteous to death. If you are righteous, then you should be wary of wicked people. They don't like you, and while they may pretend to be your friend to gain your trust, they are not your friend. They're looking for a way to take advantage. The trouble is this, in the conflict between the righteous and the wicked, verse 7 tells us that sometimes a wicked man who carries out evil devices will prosper in his way. Sometimes the wicked will succeed. Sometimes they will prosper over the righteous. For those of us who are righteous, or who at least are trying to be, that can be very distressing. So the psalm tells us how we ought to respond to this problem. First, in verse 1, we read that we should not be envious of wrongdoers. We might look at them and think that they are winning while we are losing. Suppose they're out stealing. Well, they'll be raking in the goods, and those of us who are being robbed of our goods will be losing our goods. So if you don't have what you worked to earn and they've got it, then you might think that they've figured out something that you haven't. You might be tempted to take an attitude of, if you can't beat them, join them. You might consider becoming a wicked person yourself so that you can get what you want. Well, don't do that. Verse 16 reminds us that it is better for us to have a little and to be righteous than it is to have great abundance and to be wicked. That was a principle that we often saw in the book of Proverbs, as, for example, in Proverbs 16:8, which says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Psalm 37:17 also tells us the reason that it is better for us to have little and to be righteous, because ultimately God will uphold the righteous but will break the arms of the wicked. More on the consequences shortly. We're talking about our responses. Our first response should be to not envy the wicked. What they have is not as good as what we have. In addition to not envying the wicked, we also should not let them worry us. Several times today's psalm urges us to fret not. Verse 1 says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." Verse 7 tells us not to fret over a man of evil devices who prospers. And verse 8 gives us a reason for it. Fretting about things tends toward evil. Worry too much about evil people and you might end up adopting their ways to get what they've got, or becoming like them by doing injustices to even the playing field. That's not the way to do it. Instead, the passage exhorts us to wait patiently for Jehovah. We find that in verses 7 and 34. In waiting for Jehovah, verse 34 tells us that we should be sure to keep his way. So that's what we should do. Don't let your worry cause you to abandon God's way of doing things. Instead, wait and continue doing what you ought. Your waiting patiently will demonstrate your trust in God, and as you wait, you must continue to trust in God. Verse 3 says to trust in the Lord and do good, and verse 5 says trust in him and he will act. Verse 4 also tells us that we should delight ourselves in Jehovah. As we have mentioned already, we should not turn to doing evil, but rather we should do good. We should persist in patiently trusting God and obeying him while we wait for him to do justice. Verse 3 tells us to befriend faithfulness, and verse 5 tells us to commit our ways to Jehovah. Verse 8 tells us to refrain from anger and to forsake wrath, while verse 27 tells us to turn away from evil and do good. As we do all of this, we should remember that it is better to have only a little and to be righteous than it is to have much and be wicked. We find that in verse 16. Immediately following that, verse 17 also gives us a reason that it is better to be righteous with only a little. God breaks the arms of the wicked, but he upholds the righteous. That brings us to our consideration of how God will respond. God sees injustice. He knows who is wicked. When we obediently and patiently wait for him, he does respond to bring about justice. Verse 18 tells us that Jehovah knows the days of the blameless. He is watching us. Verse 13 tells us that he laughs at the wicked. Just as God sees the good, he sees the bad, and God sees the whole picture. When the wicked misbehave, it looks to us like they're getting away with it, but we don't see the justice coming. God knows everything from beginning to end, and he controls everything from beginning to end. No one is getting away with anything. At some point along the way, God will do justice. Verse 6 tells us that our righteousness will shine like the light, and our justice like noon. God is not ignoring us and is not forgetting us. He will put our goodness on display. Verse 28 tells us that Jehovah loves justice and will not forsake his saints. The saints being his people, believers whom he has chosen and sanctified. Verse 33 agrees, saying that God will not abandon the righteous and will not allow them to be condemned. So when we see the wicked prospering, we are told not to worry and to wait patiently for God to do justice. God will eventually do that justice, and the psalm also describes for us the results that we will experience. Eventually, as we saw in verse 17, Jehovah will break the arms of the wicked, a metaphor meaning that the wicked will lose their power, but he will uphold the righteous. The righteous, we read in verse 28, Jehovah will preserve, but he will cut off the wicked. Verse 15 tells us that the swords of the wicked will enter their own hearts and that their bows will be broken. The means by which they had intended to harm others will only end up harming themselves. As a result, the evildoers will be gone. Verse 2 says that they will wither like herbs and fade like grass. This is a common biblical analogy. Grass grows quickly, but it also dies quickly when there is a freeze or a drought or extreme heat. So it is with the wicked. They flourish for a time, but it doesn't last. Verse 20 tells us that the wicked vanish like the glory of the pastures, that is, the beautiful flowers which bloom for a season and then wilt. That same verse tells us that they are like smoke that vanishes into thin air. Verse 10 encourages us that it will be just a little while until the wicked will be no more. We will look for them and they will be gone. Verse 36 tells us that the transgressors will be destroyed. That verse also says that they will be cut off. We have that same language, cut off, in verse 9, 22, and 34. We have that same language, cut off, in verses 9, 22, and 34. In contrast, the righteous will dwell in and will inherit the land. We find this in the passage over and over again in verses 3, 9, 11, 18, 22, 27, and 34. Who will inherit the land and have a heritage? The blameless, the meek, those who trust and wait and do good. They will be exalted and will have a heritage that will last forever. This is not just a heritage of land. To the contrary, if we will do good, God will give us the desires of our hearts. That from verse 4. Verse 10 says that the meek will delight themselves in abundant peace. Verse 19 promises that we will have abundance in the famine and will not be put to shame. And verse 20 tells of how we will have extra wealth such that we can give, contrary to the wicked, who will be so poor as to borrow and be unable to repay to boot. Verses 25 and 26 concur, saying that the righteous will be ever able to generously lend. They won't need to beg for bread. In verses 23 and 24, we read of how Jehovah will establish the steps of a man if he delights in that man's way. And verse 31 tells that when the laws of God are in a man's heart, his feet will not slip. Even when we do fall, as all of us will at times, Jehovah ultimately will lift us up rather than allowing us to fall headlong completely. In verses 35 through 37, David gives us an example of this. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless, and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. And we can confirm that this does track with David's life. I think of Nabal. Nabal treated David wickedly, but then Nabal died and David flourished. See our message, David and Nabal, covering 1 Samuel 25 and published on December 26th of 2021 for more on that. I think also of Saul, a main character throughout 1 Samuel. Saul was a wicked king. One day Saul was spreading, but then Saul was no more. David inherited the kingdom. The psalm concludes in verses 39 and 40, telling us that Jehovah saves the righteous, that he is their stronghold in trouble, and that he delivers them from the wicked. And so we conclude also, in this life there will be people who do wicked things. They will do wicked things because they seek to serve their immediate self-interest. However, their plans are short-sighted because while wickedness gains for a while, the gains don't last. While wickedness is beneficial to the wicked in the short term, wickedness is immediately harmful to others and eventually harmful to the wicked as well. When we are confronted with wickedness and the seeming gains made by the wicked, we may be tempted to join them in their wickedness, but we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't let the wicked worry us. Instead, we should delight in Jehovah and continue doing good, obeying his laws, and patiently trusting in him to deliver us. God is not ignoring injustice in the world. He will respond. Righteousness will win and wickedness will lose. As a generality, the wicked will vanish and the good will inherit the land. Those who will patiently obey Jehovah will have peace and prosperity in the desires of their hearts. And so this is my exhortation to you. When there is wickedness, do not envy it and do not fret. Be patient in doing good and receive God's blessings.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.